WMRA News, I'm Bob Levekin. Virginia reports its two highest daily cases of COVID-19 this week. And as a result, health officials say they'll likely have to scale back on contact tracing. Meanwhile, the National Guard steps in to respond to a severe outbreak at Middle River Regional Jail. And Virginia's circuit courts are understaffed and their workers underpaid, and advocates are pushing for lawmakers to find more money for them. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, December 9th. The coronavirus is surging in Virginia. The Virginia Department of Health reported 3,860 new cases on Tuesday. That's the second highest single-day increase since the pandemic began. The highest was Sunday, with a jump of 3,880 new cases on Sunday. The state is averaging more than 3,200 new cases per day over the last 7 days. As a result, health officials in Virginia say they'll likely have to scale back on contact tracing. VDH announced the new rules Tuesday. The restrictions mean that tracers may not be able to reach all Virginians who were recently exposed to someone with COVID-19. And people who get infected may have to call the people with whom they were recently in contact. Contact tracers interview people who have recently tested positive and determine who they have recently come in contact with and give advice on how to avoid spreading the virus. Local health departments are now prioritizing their time to talk to the people most at risk. Those include nursing home residents and prison inmates and people who have compromised immune systems. There have been nearly 230,000 confirmed cases and 4,260 confirmed or suspected deaths from COVID-19 in Virginia since the pandemic began. But the number of cases in most schools have been relatively low. Meanwhile, the National Guard and the Virginia Department of Health have stepped in to respond to a severe outbreak at Middle River Regional Jail. More than a third of its inmates and dozens of employees have tested positive in recent weeks. The Harrisonburg Citizen reports the jail is isolating areas with higher concentrations of positive cases from other inmates who have tested negative. And the National Guard is testing inmates and staff every week until all those tests come back negative for 2 consecutive weeks. Well, as January's General Assembly session approaches, lawmakers who are eyeing statewide office are trying to figure out how to juggle the legislature with the campaign trail. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
The General Assembly has a half dozen members who are running for some kind of statewide office, although that list is now one fewer. Delegate Jennifer Carol Foy says she'll resign her seat to focus on her effort to snag the Democratic nomination for governor. Stephen Farnsworth at the University of Mary Washington says that's one way to build name recognition and campaign contributions during the session when lawmakers are legally prohibited from taking money.
It's a big, big leap from being known in a portion of a county to being known statewide. And if you don't start your gubernatorial campaign with a single-minded focus until the spring, you're even further behind than you are in January.
Quentin Kidd, Christopher Newport University, says usually House members aren't facing this kind of decision.
It isn't super common for members of the General Assembly to drop out of their seats to run for statewide office. Where you've seen this happen most recently is when an attorney general, for example, wants to run for governor.
Ken Cuccinelli decided to stay on as attorney general rather than resign in 2013. He ended up losing that election to Terry McAuliffe, who may end up making a return to Virginia politics in 2021 to run for a second term as governor. I'm Michael Pope.
Yeah, and it looks like Terry McAuliffe indeed wants his old job back. The former governor is expected to announce a formal bid for his old office today in Richmond. McAuliffe will enter an already crowded Democratic primary field. Virginia prohibits governors from seeking consecutive terms. McAuliffe left office at the start of 2018. Other announced Democratic candidates for governor include State Senator Jennifer McClellan and, as Michael mentioned, Delegate Jennifer Carol Foy. Either McClellan or Foy would be the nation's first black woman to lead a state. Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax is also running on the Democratic side. Finally today, Virginia's circuit courts handle everything from marriage certificates to murder trials. And the people who carry that load are deputy court clerks. Amidst the pandemic, their workload has only gotten heavier. But many circuit courts are understaffed and the clerks underpaid. Advocates are hoping lawmakers can find money in the budget to help. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain reports.
In Southwest Virginia, the Dickinson County Circuit Court is staffed by 3 clerks. Recently, they finished an almost 2-year-long training that should have made them eligible for a raise. But instead of the 9% pay increase, they were told there wasn't money in the state budget. That was a serious financial blow, says their boss, Richard Edwards.
I have 2 of my clerks are single mothers, so, you know, they strive to make as much as they can.
One, he adds, performs wedding ceremonies in her spare time to make extra cash.
They have to work pretty hard to make ends meet.
It varies by locality, but state funding for a deputy circuit clerk in Virginia is about $22,000 a year. The Virginia Court Clerks Association is asking for the state to bring that number up in line with what clerks in district courts get paid. Paul Ferguson, a clerk in Northern Virginia, says there's a disparity because funding for circuit clerks is often supplemented by local governments.
The problem with it is there's no guarantee that you're going to receive a subsidy. And in fact, 25% of circuit court clerks receive little or no subsidy at all from their locality. So it's just bad public policy.
In addition to increasing salaries, the Clerks Association is also asking for money for new technology. Ferguson says many localities, mostly rural, don't make enough on court fees to fund the upgrades themselves.
Some courts haven't been able to scan all their records or digitize their files and are still working with paper files.
All told, they're asking for about $4.5 million, a drop in the ocean that is Virginia's $60 billion budget. But amidst a pandemic and declining revenue, lawmakers did not include any of that money in their latest budget. Lizelle Duggar, clerk of court in Charlottesville and president of the Court Clerks Association, says it's a necessary investment in the judicial system.
We handle every felony case, capital murder all the way down to your grand larceny felony will get heard in circuit court, and my deputies take care of the records and make sure they're accurate and that they're here for anyone who wants to see them.
And that's just the criminal side. Then there are divorces, adoptions, deed and land records. Duggar says all those essential public services move more slowly when courts are understaffed. Her office in Charlottesville is currently a person down because someone left for the higher paying job in the district court.
I've been interviewing folks the last 4 weeks for the position. I've had 3 people turn me down because I can't pay them enough.
For other localities, there aren't even enough positions to fill in the first place. Vanessa Porter is clerk of the King and Queen County Circuit Court. She hasn't had a week off since 2016, adding it's tough for either of her team of 2 to take any time off.
And when you go above and beyond like that, the disheartening part is you don't get paid for it. You know, it's like the state, they're not understanding how much these deputies are doing, how valuable they are.
The raise the Clerks Association is asking for would bring the starting salary for deputy circuit clerks to $30,000 a year. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Wednesday.